Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
And I want to talk a little bit more about that today. But just before I do that, just a one-minute summary of what the blessing message essentially is. It's about speaking God's intentions and favour over people or situations in the name of Jesus and the authority that God has given us. And it's most effective when, one, we use our authority to bless, that is to say, we're moving into I bless you or we bless you rather than delegating that to God. In the same way as Jesus says, you speak to the mountain, you heal the sick, you cast out demons, well, you bless people as well in my name. And the second important thing was that we have a clean mouth. That is to say, we don't use our mouth for cursing. Cursing and blessing shouldn't come out of the same mouth, otherwise they cancel each other out, really. And that we be motivated by love or compassion, and that we do it with faith. But the message this morning is your blessing can change your world. And that's what I felt the Lord say to me, actually, just a few days ago. I think he said to me, Richard, your blessing can change your world. Because I was contemplating changing my world, you see. But I thought it's also true for all of us. And even in that sentence, there's a sense there of it's our responsibility, like it's potential. We can change our world if we want to. We can either let things just happen, or we can make things happen. And that is quite interesting, quite challenging. So first of all, then, what is our world? When in that sentence, you can change your world. What is our world? I think it's ourselves, it's our family, it's our home, our dwelling place, it's our workplace, it's our church, it's our ministry, it's our finances, it's where we have influence, it's where we interface with people. We can change that for good. So I'm just going to start off with the various aspects of that. And some of these things might sound a little bit controversial, but I don't think that's a bad thing. So the first thing I'm going to say is this, is that blessing can move mountains that prayer alone often doesn't. So I'll say that again. Blessing can move mountains that prayer often doesn't. I'm going to give some examples of that. And the first one is something I'm just going to read out because it's so well written, and I have an example myself that is very, very close to this, but I'm just going to read it, okay? So they were choking up as they read the letter from their two teenagers. In that letter, there was healing, repentance, and joy. But it was not always like that. Just a week ago, this couple was beside themselves because their children were out of control and their family was on the verge of falling apart. These two children were rebellious and in trouble, pushing their home into a sort of war zone. It had become them against us and vice versa. What happened to the sweet babies they had raised? Dragging themselves to another church meeting, they heard something different. This was a message of hope. They heard the message of the power that is blessing others. They grasped this truth with hope of getting their children back through blessing them. They knew the side of repeating how bad the children were and rehearsing their rebellion to counselors. Now it was time to try a different strategy. They were going to bless instead of curse. They began to replace angry words and expressions of disappointment with words of love and blessing. A difficult transition. Determined to walk this through, the parents hung in there and spoke blessings over their children. Then they saw it. The attitudes changed. The schoolwork improved, and peace came to their house. They knew the war was over. Blessing was here. The children too became blessers. Scribbled on that piece of paper that day were their words of love for their father and mother, expressing their changed hearts. They acknowledged and were grateful for the love of their parents, their goodness, and their refusal to give up on them. The once rebellious children had come home again. This was all in the matter of a week. Now you can imagine that that couple would have prayed over and over and over for their family, but nothing happened, nothing moved. Although maybe you could argue that prayer took them to the church on that day to hear that message. But basically, you see, God wants family relationships restored, but cursing held up the answers they were looking for. Now, I've seen that myself with another family and children, but I won't go there because that expresses the message really well. Now, let me take another example of women who have not been able to have children, in some cases for years and years. And of course, they prayed for children. They prayed for children over and over and over. The stakes have been high. In some countries, if you can't have children, you're really looked down on as a woman or a couple. And when these women, I have at least three testimonies here that I know about with photos and children and all that. But these women decided when they heard the blessing message that they would bless their wombs. And they got pregnant. So this is another example of substituting, in some cases, asking God to do something and actually blessing. And the last example I'll give under this heading is just sickness. You know, how many times people have prayed for sickness, have prayed for God to heal them, and they don't get healed. But I have many, many testimonies of people when prayer has run out, if you like, where they bless their bodies with thankfulness and love, appreciating their body, that they've got healed. It's usually progressive, but there are many, many examples. In fact, when I was in Tonga, before one of my talks on a Sunday night, this woman gave a 9-minute testimony. She'd been over here in January when I spoke to a group of Tongan leaders, and I did do a father's blessing over her. Oh, she told me she had cancer, that's right, she had cancer. And I blessed her. But anyway, she got a book, and her testimony is this, that she read the prayer in the book, or at least she did what the book said, and she now doesn't have cancer anymore. And not only that, or anyway, it's just amazing, but that's just her testimony. So I just want to, just to repeat what I said there, that blessing, you see, you can even take this further, and this might be the controversial bit, but we know in the Old Testament, God says, if the people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, you know the rest of it. Well, you know, I think really that there are times when we'd be a lot better off blessing our nation. You know, what would happen if we were to bless our government, if we were to bless our economy, if we were to bless our families, bless our schools, etc.? I'm not suggesting one replace the other, but I think they would go very well together. And I think that I think we should have a lot more blessing meetings, or at least incorporate blessing and prayer meetings a lot more than I think that we do. Okay, so that was my first point. The second point is that blessing can open doors where prayer is not welcome. And I've got three testimonies here, but can I just read out two of them? This is a lady in New Zealand. I am so thankful that the awesome power of blessing has indeed given me a whole new way of living, and as I am led by the Holy Spirit to those that need a blessing. Recently, I was led to a young woman who was working in our street, putting out cones for the workmen. She was sitting on her own, having a rest. And as I went out for a walk, I went over to her and thanked her for all the hard work she was doing. And I blessed her in the name of Jesus. She looked at me and said, "Lady, I've been thinking about God a lot lately." So I sat down beside her and had a chat. Then I shared my testimony and the gospel with her. We sat there quietly for a while, and then I said, "Would you like to ask Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior?" She thought about it and then said, "Yes, I would like to, please." So she followed me in the prayer of salvation and gave her heart to Jesus. We had a big hug together. Another time I was in town on our main street, and there was a man sitting on a mat asking for money. I went over to him and started chanting and blessed him with God's provision in Jesus' name. I asked him if he had ever asked Jesus into his heart, and he said lots of times. We had an interesting chat about that. Then he said, "Have you got any money, lady?" I asked him if he was hungry, and he said he was, and that he'd like a hot dog and a donut. So I went to buy the order, and when I came back, he wasn't there. His mat was there, and a young woman standing beside it. I asked her if she knew where he went. She replied that she was talking with him, and he suddenly walked away. I blessed her in the name of Jesus and asked her if she knew Jesus. She thought about it and said, "No, but I'd really like to." She was just new in town, and I asked if I could visit her. We have become friends, and she now has a faith in Jesus. Simple little things, but so effective. You know, as I said, what was my little summary of that was, blessing can open doors where people are allergic to blessing, to prayer. And the third thing is this: blessing makes better people, and it can change a culture. You know, it was really interesting for me being in Tonga, because I had a host who drove me around everywhere and looked after me. We ate together many times. But one of the things he shared, because I shared some observations with him too, but he said in Tonga, the women are quite dominant and the men actually are quite shy. And he said, "We've got these aunties." He said, "The aunties are the toughest ones. You know, I'll tell you once, son, I'll tell you once only," this kind of thing, you know, very disciplinarian, is that the word? Anyway, on one of the nights when I was in Tonga, towards the end, we had a sort of a testimony night. And there were three aunties, three matriarchs, is how I sort of see them. And they stood up and they said in their own way, they said, "We used to curse. We used to curse everything and all the time. And since we've heard your message, we now bless." And they shared about the joy of blessing, how it felt so, so different. And, you know, I was thinking just the other day, you know, when the 70 came back, Jesus had sent them out. You remember? To heal the sick and cast out demons. When they came back, they were fizzing, weren't they? Oh, they were fizzing, you remember? And Jesus had to hose them off a little bit and remind them about what was really important, you know. But, you know, but these women were like that. These women had been out there. They'd been out there doing blessing, and they felt the love rush. They began to feel the joy, the power of it all. And they realized that when they were cursing, they were doing Satan's job for him. So for them, it wasn't theory anymore. It actually worked. And I had the joy and privilege of speaking at an Anglican school. There would have been 120 children in their school uniform and the teachers. And I brought the blessing message. I brought a form of it anyway that was appropriate for the audience. And they videoed it. And you can see people, kids wiping their eyes with tears. And I got on the radio station that was there. But also the guy on the radio station, he put the video of me blessing the school on Facebook. It's had 6,500 views when I last looked. And another one had 1,200 views. It's just absolutely amazing. And so that culture has been changed. Really has been changed. And there was a, you know, I don't think sometimes we realize the power of our words. And I had lunch with a woman there. She would have been in her early 30s, I would guess. And she said to me, my parents told me that I was a naughty girl. And my teachers told me that I was a naughty girl. And the other kids at school told me I was a naughty girl. So guess what? When she left school, she became a naughty girl. Alcohol, drugs, got pregnant, married the man who got her pregnant, became suicidal, and only Jesus saved her. But, you know, that was the thing that was in her heart. You're a naughty girl. You're a naughty girl. It had been driven deep into her heart. And then on the other side of the coin was the host, the man who took me around everywhere. And he said to me, I was playing rugby and I was relatively small and all these other boys were really, really big. And I was scared. I said, whatever it was, I got past the ball. I suddenly found myself with the ball. And he said, I was like paralyzed. I was like a rabbit caught in the headlights, you know what I mean, on the road. And I was afraid. I thought I was going to get crunched. But suddenly behind him or somewhere, he heard the voice, run, son, run. And that was his father. He didn't even know his father. Didn't even know his father was there. But run, son, run. And he said, in that moment, all the fear drained out of me, and I ran like a hare. And he said, I knew in that moment that if I got crunched, Dad would be there to pick up the piece. So those are just examples of you know, the power of the words of the parents, you know. And then blessing empowers and inspires people. You know, I was in a Fijian church in Tonga, but the pastor was a Fijian. But on the big screen were the words Tonga for Jesus. And I was sort of saying to the people, well, how do you think that's going to happen? I said, when you pray, thy kingdom come in Tonga, thy will be done. How do you think that's going to happen? It's going to happen through you. Anyway, I had a good chat with the pastor afterwards, and he asked me questions like, I always say the Aaronic blessing at the end of it, you know, may the Lord bless you and keep you and so on. Should I still do that? And I said, well, I can't see anything wrong with doing that. But I said, what you might do, because it can be quite trite if you hear it again and again and again, you know, familiarity breeds contempt and so on. You might like to customize your blessing depending on what message you brought. And we talked about that. And I talked to him about blessing their nation, how to do that. So the next Sunday, and I wasn't there, but one of the ladies who was there, Latu, her name was, she said the pastor got up and he got us all to stand up and to put our hands out. And he led them in a prayer to bless their nation, to bless the nation of Tonga. And she said to me, it was so powerful. Everyone experienced the love and the power of God as they all took part. In other words, this was a congregation participation. They all got up together and they blessed their name. They were not spectators anymore. They were participants. And everyone really felt the power of that. And, you know, when I bring the blessing measures now, even in a church, I get people to stand up and make pairs, and I get A to bless B and B to bless A. Like, they actually have to experience it. It was James, actually, who gave me this idea, because James has probably forgotten now, but one day he did get the whole church up and to start blessing. And I thought, hey, that is really, really good. I'm going to pinch that. So I pinch it regularly now. And so people actually get to experience the joy and the power of blessing themselves in the message. It's not just theory, it's actually doing it. And if I could just tell a couple more stories, I don't know how I'm doing for time, but, you know, blessing changes how we respond to provocation. You know, Willie was my host name. So Willie would drive me around, and there's a lot of dust on the roads in Tonga because there hasn't been any rain for such a long time. But somebody passed us at great speed and produced a huge dust cloud. So we could hardly see where we were going. Now, I can tell you now that Willie was pretty vexed with this, and he wanted to give the driver of the other car the benefit of his counsel, even to the point of trying to catch up to him, you know, and shout out the window. I said, hang on a minute, Willie. Hang on a minute, Willie. Hang on, Willie. So I said, say after me, in the name of Jesus, I bless the driver of that car. May the love of God pursue him and overtake him and arrest him in the name of Jesus. And, you know, so Willie did that, and he said, it's all gone. It's all gone. He said, it's all that anger, that toxic squirt of anger. I tell you what, driving does bring out the worst of us, doesn't it? But anyway, I'm just saying, when he turned cursing into blessing, it was just amazing. And, you know, the other thing about blessing is that it can turn things around. Do you remember in Chosen, in the Chosen series, that Nicodemus is interviewing Mary Magdalene, who had undergone an absolutely dramatic change? And Nicodemus was trying to understand it, but even Mary didn't really understand it herself either. And she said something like, look, all I know is this. Before I was one way, and now I am totally different. And in between was him being Jesus. And I want to tell you this a story. You know, Willie was leaving where he was parked. And somebody hit him, smacked into the driver's door. And the guy got out of the car, and he saw Willie, and then he ran off. He got back in the car and just took off, just like that. Now, of course, us in New Zealand, we'd have to get his number plate, and we'd have to talk to the insurance company and go to the police and everything. But, you know, those cars aren't really insured much over there. But anyway, he said to me, Richard, he said, I blessed him. He said, I blessed him. He said, I don't know who he was, but he could tell who I was. He knew who I was after he's on the radio every day. And I call this story, The Man Came Back. Because what happened was, the guy that ran off, a day or so later, he went looking for Willie. He didn't know where he lived, but he found out where he lived. And then he found out where he was. And he came to see Willie that night. Now, I was actually doing a blessing message in this house on that particular night. And this guy found Willie at the house. And, you know, we ended up bringing him to the Lord. In fact, I ended up hugging him with tears running down his face. You would not believe it. I call the story The Man Came Back. Now, I don't know what would happen if Willie hadn't blessed him. But the thing is, Willie did something that was totally against human nature. because it would have been so easy to curse that guy. You rotten guy, you know, you cowardly fellow. Well, you think of all the things you could have said in that moment, but he blessed him. And the man came back and got saved. Well, well, well. And so finally, really, just a few words about the, you know, the Father's blessing. You know, I often do a Father's blessing over today's adults in a church. It's the adults there who haven't been blessed by their fathers. And this tremendous healing of the pain and injustice of the past. And I really developed what I call a ministry of hugging. You know, I it's really quite strange how this happened, really. But even when I was in Bali, I remember hugging would have been over 20 young people in a private home. They were in bedrooms. They were coming out of the woodwork everywhere. And just when I thought I was finished, they'd say satu lagi, which means one more. But, you know, I just kept hugging these, and they kept crying. They kept crying. And in Tonga, one particular woman, I just remember she just cried and cried and cried and cried. And I just thought, you know, what would have happened if I hadn't hugged that woman? Those tears would still be inside. You know, this thought wakes me up at night sometimes. And, you know, all the tears that are buried alive in people. And Christ is the answer. And a young man or a young woman, you know, it just sets them up for life. And that's why I've absolutely loved my time in Tonga, in the schools, the young people, the discipleship groups that Willie had set up. They were mostly young people. And they're the hope of that. And they sucked the stuff up like blotting paper. And they put it into practice, you know. There was no shyness about it. It was just absolutely wonderful. Okay, so I have to finish, so I may as well finish now. I'll just leave you with a couple of questions because I know we've got a bit of a time together.